Chapter 11. The Curse of Foresight. The warriors that came to Saguelsa were debased. The best of them were deluded, the worst simply murderous fiends, said Curse into the cold darkness of the tower room. I do not know when my legion began its fall from grace, only that by the time I noticed it was too late.
He scratched under ribs made prominent by inconstant eating habits. A gobbet of human flesh, dried hard upon his skin, fell away.
In my own defence, I will say I do find it exceedingly hard to concentrate upon the present when the future is a constant unwelcome guest. How was I supposed to pay attention to the evils of Nostromo when my days filled drip by poisonous drip with the torments of the future? You failed again, Father, in giving me the power of foresight. Justice is an absolute, and thanks to you, I knew very early in my life that I would fall far short of its standards and become a perpetrator of crimes that deserve no other punishment than death.
He laughed insipidly.
Can you imagine? To be made to perform a certain function, and in performing it discover that you yourself are inimical to that function. Seeing every day your death at the command of your own father as punishment.
His voice rose.
Punishment for no more than following the path laid out for you by that father. You made me as an arbitrator of justice. You also made me a monster. Reconciliation of the two is impossible. Is it any wonder at all that I am insane?
He hissed through sharpened teeth, his words cold with hate.
None of this is my fault. All of it is yours. The blood of billions of innocents is on your hands, not mine.
He became morose and adopted a wheedling tone.
Why did you make me? Why did I have to do it? All the blood, the death, the torture. Those things I can understand. But one act I performed, though righteous, haunts me yet. It should not,
he said angrily.
No. No,
he shook his head, arguing quietly with himself.
It does not. It had to be done. We were right, you and I. It could not have been any different.
His head twitched, and he rocked upon his haunches.
I am speaking, of course, of the burning of Nostromo.
Play it again.
Soft menace carried Curse's words across the assembled captains of the Legion. All Talon and Clawmasters in the fleet were there, no exceptions permitted.
As you command, my lord.
Captain Shang, equerry to the Primarch, could not meet his Genefather's eyes. None of them could. They watched the footage grimly, many of them ashamed by what they saw. Many, but not all. Sevatar, stationed at the right hand of the Primarch, watched his brother's discomfort with great interest, and those who exhibited no shame with more. The captains crowded the strategium closely. A good proportion of them had come armoured, and the combined hum of their power plants played at irritating levels.
"Can you not increase the resolution of this imagery?"
asked Malkarian of the 10th. The menial communications officer, manning the projection equipment, shook his head. Shang, who was in charge of the serfs serving the gathering, spoke for him.
"It was captured by a simple auger lens, deep below decks. There is little light for it to see by, and it is primitive."
He was tense. Too many eyes were on him.
"As I have said before, there's enough for us to see what is happening," said Varjahan,
Lord Regent of the 27th Talon, sharply.
"Can we be quiet? I am trying to think this through,"
said Sel Harrek. As one of the Chiroptera, his words should have carried weight, but many of his fellows smirked and aped his manner. To his fury. Sevatar marked all these interactions well. There were certainly captains in that room who were complicit in these crimes, and maybe some who were responsible for them. The Legion was changing, for the worse. Curse was paying insufficient attention to his war machine. The angle of the image was high and distorted by the wide-angle lens. Menials hurried past, swelling as they approached, then diminishing to near-human shape before bloating again, seeming to curve around and walk on up a parabolic floor. The corridor was empty of movement for a few moments, until another figure emerged. retinal shine revealed him, his dark adapted eyes bobbing towards the camera like will-o'-the-wisps. Only when he was halfway across the field of view did he resolve into a legionary, stripped to the waist, his pale skin shockingly white in the dark. In his hand he wielded a broad, flat-headed skinning knife. He moved off stealthily, tracking the menials into the darkness.
"Who is it?" asked Zhou Shahal.
"We have no identification as yet,"
said Shang Tu quickly, exposing his nervousness at the warrior's actions. He felt responsible, and he was acting as if he were responsible, to the relief of the others. It took the pressure of the Primarch's attention from them. Savitar ignored him and continued to watch the crowd.
"But it is imagery from Malithos's ship."
Sahal lifted a hand in Kuln's direction without looking at him, his eyes instead imploring the Primarch to action.
"Surely he must know." "There are no bio-augurs of sufficient accuracy installed on those decks to discern who it was," said Melithus Kuln. "Then you must recognize the perpetrator." "Can you recognize him?"
Kuln growled.
"He is a shape in the dark,"
Savitar observed in silence. The angle of the footage changed. A new view was brought onto the hololithic display. Though from a two-dimensional image, the machinery allowed everyone present to see it as if looking directly at it. Kurz was relentless. This was the fourth time they had viewed the vid, but even so, the shock of what happened next could not be lessened by repetition. The ghostly warrior crept with gathering speed after the two menials. His knives flashed, slipping under clothing and skin, lifting both high into tented peaks, from under which ventured trickles, then floods of blood. The first menial thrashed and clawed at his back. His companion spun around, saw what attacked them, and ran. The warrior cast the first victim down and ran to catch the second. He was cornered under the gaze of a third auger lens, and there he died slowly.
"There are customs among some clans of hunting in the lower decks,"
said Krieg Acerbus, the savage giant. He shrugged.
"It has always been so. It is the mark of a warrior to hone his skill through stalking live prey."
"Only to cull the deck gangs who terrorize the menials between shifts. Only to punish the guilty. These were officers,"
said Tovak Tor, the lackhand.
"They were valuable."
His bionic hand hitched and clicked as he gestured.
"They are still of standard human stock, and not to be mourned. What does it matter if the cattle fear the herdsmen?"
hissed Krukesh the Pale. A network of dark veins pulsed under his milky skin with each sibilant word.
"What do you know of our customs, Terran?" said Tor. "Their subtleties are beyond you. These men were Nostromans. They are our servants, not our enemy."
"I know more than you," said Krukesh.
"You speak challengingly to us, Pale One. Very well. You may challenge my axe,"
said Acerbus. He hefted his oversized blade, leading some to snigger at him.
"Could we cease this pointless bickering?"
snapped Terramaster Thandamel. His high rank curbed the sniping for a moment.
"This is not an isolated incident. It is happening everywhere,"
said Viridium Salvadi, Kurz's lord of the fleet. His anger accused the others of being at fault. He glowered at many he thought particularly responsible.
"The problem is growing worse. Not on my ship,"
Charon Ophion insisted stubbornly.
"Not on my ship,"
Halaska the Third Talon impersonated him cruelly.
"Listen to the coward, so brave, so noble, so sure of the great moral integrity of his warriors. The great leader and fighter, no ganger he. Not on my ship,"
he mocked again.
"It is true. My men are bringers of justice, not thugs,"
said Ophion.
"You speak of your own clause. You have no right to comment on mine."
"And how can you be sure of every one of them?" said Krukesh. "The Legion is large. They are killers to a soul. Whatever their reasons to slay, they will slay. You cannot know every one of your men, not truly."
"I will not believe it,"
said Ophion uncomfortably.
"Not my men."
"Denial does not make it true,"
added Tovak Tor thoughtfully.
"How can we judge anything of what this shows us?" said Zhou Shahal. "These menials may have erred, or committed a crime. This punishment could be just."
"It is not punishment," said Kurz. "It is murder.
Murder of valuable Legion assets. Murder for murder's sake. And that I will not allow. The Primarch leaned into the projection field, sending dancing motes of light across the image. He peered into the uncertain picture. His superior eyes could find no additional information, and he stood erect, turning his head about. The odour of unwashed skin wafted over his captains. Distracted by the problems growing in his legion, Kurz was becoming increasingly dishevelled.
Malithos Kholm, you will find this warrior, and you will bring him to me, said Kurz. I shall pass judgment on him so that all know no one may kill without my command.
And what of the others on other ships? Said Kholm angrily. I am being scapegoated.
Your anger is a clear sign of your guilt, said Krukesh.
He smiled unpleasantly.
That is my impression.
It is the warrior guilty of the crime I can see here that I will pass sentence on, Kurz said softly. Unless you would prefer if I took the issue higher up the chain of command? He stroked the leather case at his waist, holding his cartomancy deck, implying the decision was already made, and Kuln's head was already severed. Kholm glowered, but Kurz's return glare silenced him, and his mouth shut with a click.
It is the fault of the recruits. We have too many dead, too many holes in our ranks to fill with fresh blood. The procedures of selection and blooding are undermined or done away with, said Falcata.
Then reintroduce them, said Kurz angrily. Be vigilant, all of you. What we see here is a sign of the poison in the veins of our legion. If poison reaches the heart or the head, he touched his chest gently, the greater organism dies. Redouble patrols below decks. Remove from authority those you do not trust. Replace the sergeants of your new corps with veterans of proven worth. Have them bring the Emperor's judgment on those who show the merest sign of disobedience. Make them know fear.
But they cannot know fear, objected Kata.
They shall,
snarled Kurz. All men know fear. Even the Legionis Astartes, and you shall make them. I do not care how it is done. Only that you do it. I will not allow this to continue. I will not see our legion fall to... Kurz groaned. Sevatar glanced up to see the Primarch's eyelids flutter and take an unsteady step back, signs the first captain knew only too well. Shang looked up in dismay. Sevatar stepped forwards in front of his genesire.
Clear the room, he commanded. This audience is over. The Chiroptera should remain to see what we can glean from Lord Kurz's vision, said Melithos Kholm. You will all leave, said Sevatar.
Kurz's visions had been worsening, a fact he deemed wise to keep from his treacherous brethren.
You too, Shang,
said Sevatar to the equerry. Shang's face set hard at the command. To underline his words, huge shapes stepped from alcoves by the door, warriors of the Atramentar of the First Talon, armoured in bulky Terminator plate. They raised their weapons to cover the crowd. There were but two of them, but they were threat enough to disperse the meeting. The doors opened, and the captains filed out, arguing loudly with one another. Kurz remained standing until the last had departed. He fell into his chair before Sevatar could reach his side, where he lolled heavily, gripping one armrest, unable to raise his head.
My lord,
Sevatar said.
Get out, Sev, said Kurz weakly.
I shall fetch the apothecaries, said Sevatar.
No,
said Kurz.
But my lord...
Black hair parted enough to reveal one blazing black eye.
Get out!
Kurz snarled. Sevatar took a second to obey before departing without bowing or saluting. His Atramentar followed him from the room. Unobserved, Conrad Kurz allowed himself to collapse. He suffered an hour of muscle-locked pain that took forever to end. When he came round, he was alone, light-headed and plagued with an aggressive sadness. The future bubbled with painful clarity beneath the present. Soon, it would return. Not for the first time recently, he hid himself in the shadows and skulked his way to his quarters unseen, in time for the visions to assail him again. A world of black sands burned, With murderous hatred, armies of brothers turned upon one another, unleashing the greatest weapons of mankind on their friends and allies. A series of scenes ran through the Primarch's mind, all dark, all horrifying. Ferus Manus struck down, Perturabo's sullen nature pushed to breaking point, Angron's fury unleashed against his allies. On and on it went. Small betrayals, petty rivalries, insignificant hurts, wounded pride, all bent and twisted and thrown upon the fires of hubris, where, stoked hotter and hotter, a conflagration of a scale the galaxy had not witnessed in long eons tore across the firmament to reduce all the Emperor held dear to ash. Kurz howled at the horrors he saw. He raged against the betrayal of all he had fought for. Order and justice were cast down in favor of chaos and lawlessness. Through all the fire and the blood, he saw a shadow dancing, claws red with blood and gore, his face twisted with insane rage and abominable pleasure. In blood, fire, and madness, Conrad Kurz saw his own fate. Kurz came round, gasping. The whole effort of the crusade struck him as laughable in the light of his visions. And so he began to laugh. Fevered thoughts boiled from the depths of his mind, his hands clutched, his fingers ripping up slivers of metal from the deck. "I will not!" he gasped, his body convulsing with laughter. He could not stop, even while he shouted in horror. "I will not become that creature!" Slowly, painfully, his mind cleared. The spasms of unwanted mirth subsided. Drained, Kurz lifted himself from the ground. The effort to move a mountain would have been less. He looked with dawning disbelief around his chamber. Everything was smashed. The great meeting table was upended and cracked down the middle. The decorations on the pillars of the instrument cloister fringing the room had been ripped free, and the machines it housed smashed beyond repair. On the walls and broken furniture were the deep marks of raking fingers. He smelled blood everywhere. It was then that he looked at his hands and found them slippery red. Some of the blood was his own, the rich, thick smell of Primarch vitae, spiced with arcane genotech, crusted around his fingertips where he had torn out his nails in his frenzy. But much of it was not. He looked around, his keen eyes piercing the darkest parts of the chamber. A pair of legs poked out from under a fallen drape. The man's torso was on the other side of the room, his guts spread like a skirt around his waist. A small sound had Kurz whipping around, serpent fast. A single one of his sons was watching him from the open door. The smell of him was unmistakable. Armored, his sons smelled broadly the same. The same oil, the same lapping powder, the same electric buzz of ozone wisping from their cooling vents. But despite their battle plates' hermetic seals, Kurz could scent the men beneath, all of them tainted with his gene seed, but individuals still. "Shang," said Kurz. Armored or not, Shang smelled weak. The strong features of his heavy jaw and hooked nose lied. A physically imposing body harbored an indecisive soul. Shang did not fully grasp the severity of the Eighth's mission. Relying too much on sentiment, his devotion to justice wavered. He hid a further flaw, greater than even that. More than any of his captains, Shang idolized the Primarch. Kurz had chosen Shang for that reason. A man with love in his heart could not betray that which he loved. Kurz had chosen Shang to exploit this weakness. It was ironic, therefore, that Kurz had found reciprocal affection for Shang in his black soul. Dogged, narrow-minded, utterly loyal, Shang was one of the few Night Lords Kurz did not hate. Shang stood a moment, trapped in a moment of indecision between drawing his weapons and speaking. That was Shang to the core. Caution leading him always to the cliff edge of uncertainty, whence misplaced courage urged him to rashly leap. He never did. He would jump only once, when grief had him in its claws, and he would die because of it. Shang reached up and removed his helmet. His scent hissed into the room more strongly with the escaping air.
"My lord,"
he said. He licked dry lips, eyes flicking about the scene of ruin.
"They are getting worse. Your visions..."
Kurz nodded his head. His mouth swam with spit that tasted of blood.
"They are, my son," said Kurz.
"Once they were but images flitting through my mind, presaging events that I must labour over my cards to fully predict. Now they come to me wholly formed, and their violence flows out of me."
Kurz hauled himself up to his feet.
"What can I save your platitudes? You can do nothing. If I am this way, it is by the Emperor's will. Make sure, should you see the next vision coming upon me, that I am isolated and the area is clear. My scrivener there, he was a man with a dull heart, not enough fire in him to be guilty. Yet he died as if he were unrighteous."
"That cannot be."
"Yes, my lord."
The Primarch leaned wearily against the wall and looked at the blood drying on his hands.
"I am guilty," he whispered to himself. "Fashmanali's death was unjust," he said.
He shuddered with a toxic mix of shock and shame. Shang took a heavy step towards him.
"Are the prophecies, my lord, are they the same?"
Shang asked, his deep resonant voice trembling.
"They are.
Brothers fighting brothers, legion against legion, and the end of the great crusade. Horus will rise and the Imperium will fall."
"My lord, we shall tell no one of this," said Kurz sharply. "If you do, I shall know. Breaking my trust will be the greatest crime, and the foulest punishment will fall on you."
"I shall tell no one," said Shang.
Appalled and outraged, Kurz could doubt him.
I know,
said Kurz. He was exhausted. Sleep beckoned.
"I have foreseen it. Now be gone."
Kurz brooded for days as the fleet pushed its way towards Chirrut, and his rendezvous there with the fleets of his brothers, Fulgrim and Rogel Dorn. The matter of his visions weighed on him day and night. Although the detail varied, the story was the same. Horus was going to betray the Emperor. Such thoughts filled Kurz with self-loathing. Despite a lifetime of pessimism, even he could not credit such a thing as the most loyal and glorious of the Emperor's sons turning upon his father. It was far easier to envisage himself turning traitor. Did he not have more reason than any of them? He was there, in the visions, slaying the sons of his brothers with unbounded joy. The images lingered in his mind, intruding upon his thoughts, winding about themselves, prompted to burst into vividness by the most mundane of actions. He avoided conversation, for he would find himself tormented by the intrusion and would lose his thread of thought, sometimes standing there gape-mouthed while he relived atrocities yet to come. He began to consider if it would transpire that the Emperor himself was guilty of some crime, thus vindicating the actions of the future Kurz that haunted his every waking moment. Yet this was also inconceivable. His plan was an exercise in perfection. The Emperor knew all. A further line of thought sprang from this poisoned reasoning, that the Emperor was aware what would happen, had created the situation, and even now awaited it. He fought it hard, but Kurz could not dismiss his suspicion that the coming war was to his plan. The first time that thought crossed Kurz's mind, he had howled and screamed so mightily, the Atramentar had lumbered into his room, weapons ready, before he chased them away and ordered them never to come back. He sought some other obsession by turning to his default passion, that of guilt. The Emperor's crimes were supposed, unproven. He needed perfidy he could judge and condemn. Cruel fate had provided him with exactly such a subject in Nostramo. As his visions blackened, became more troubling and afflicted him more often, a second stream of venom poisoned his world. The recruits coming from Nostromo were of woeful quality. They were strong of body, but corrupt of mind. Slowly, at first, then with increasing brazenness, the warriors sent him were of the very worst kind of men. He had neglected Nostromo, as the Emperor's gift to him throttled his sanity. No more. Ledgers and data slates were piled around his chamber upon the iron table. The mortal, Ekra Trez, worked quietly in the corner of the room. When the darkness came upon Kurz, Trez's psychic talents blunted the horror. At other times he aided his master, autoquill scratching on an accompanying screen as he compiled the data Kurz himself had processed. The information was there to see. All aspects of each recruit meticulously recorded. Genotype, origin, records of crime, set out in plain language. The men destroying his legion from within were either confident they would not be discovered, or were so proud of their actions they felt they had nothing to hide. Kurz glanced at the spread of worn cards in the middle of the table. Their reading suggested that could be it. They could believe they were doing the right thing. False rectitude was no shield against justice. The door to his chamber opened.
"Sevatar," said Kurz without looking up.
"I am here as you requested," said Sevatar.
He came to the table and placed his winged helmet carefully upon the surface among the books.
"Do I request, Sev?" said Kurz.
Sevatar studied the papers on the table, annoyed.
"It's only a command if you think I won't come. I am here willingly, as always."
"I never have to command you. Is that the meaning hiding beneath your words?"
"If you want to see it that way."
He looked his gene father in the eye.
"Why do we discuss semantics?"
"I am making light," said Kurz.
"The Night Haunter making light," said Sevatar. "I thought I had seen all there was to see in this galaxy."
"Times are dark," said Kurz. "I am tired and troubled. Events go against us. I thought lightness might help. I am wrong, it seems."
"There is nothing to fear, my lord. Our compliance rate is well within acceptable parameters."
"But our methods are not. Terror is the greatest weapon available to a man. Terror harms nothing but pride. Worlds fall bloodlessly to our armies.
Thousands die to save millions. Lives are bought with pain," said Sevatar. "So I would say nearly bloodlessly."
"Now who plays pedant?" said Kurz.
"I am making light," said Sevatar.
So stonily, it would have been impossible for anyone but Kurz to detect his humour. Kurz's smile evaporated.
"All that is under threat. The Eighth Legion has become infested by men who revel in the means while losing sight of the end. They take pleasure in pain and scoff at notions of crime and punishment."
"I had noticed," said Sevatar. "The timing of your realization could have been better, my lord," said Sevatar. "We carry a cargo of serpents to a meeting with your brothers."
"And at a time our methods are under scrutiny like at no other."
Kurz shoved a ledger towards the first captain, so that it bumped against his helm. Sevatar glanced at script written with the machine's precision on leaves of handmade paper.
"Elements within the Legion have abetted the criminals of the homeworld. While I frothed and raved in my quarters, they have welcomed these degenerates into our ranks with open arms."
"All for power," Sevatar said immediately. "You would think elevation to a state far beyond the weaknesses of baseline man and participation in the greatest venture the human race has engaged in would be enough power for anyone. But what do I know? The motives of other men mystify me. What I see as idiocy, others embrace. Why do they not see that power craves more power? It is a fool's hunger that consumes all until it eats the man that suffers it. It would amuse me if it weren't so dangerous."
"The pursuit of power within the hierarchy of a legion is to be encouraged. To create power outside of its structure is disloyal."
"I agree. I have already set in motion plans to curb the excesses of the worst. All captains suspected of involvement with debasing the standard of recruits are being questioned.
Kurz turned another page. Commendable. But call it off. Sevatar's slightly narrowed eyes were the only sign of puzzlement he permitted himself.
Well, that is an interesting stance to take. I assume you'll explain to me why.
The Legion has to be brought back under control.
A show of force is required.
Kurz flipped the book closed.
Have you considered that you might be wrong?
I never consider anything but that, said Kurz with dangerous energy. There are rumours that the government of Lord Balthius has fallen. I have Shang investigating. They would have to be actively hiding the change of regime from us if that were the case. That is a crime in itself. My messages to Nostromo get no reply, or the most pressing questions go unanswered. I have been forced to turn to the Council of Terror to find the truth.
That might explain the fall in quality of our recruits.
It might, but the rot set in years ago. Kurz stabbed a book with a long fingernail. Here, 12 years back, are consignments of youths taken from jail. Their psychometric test results have been tampered with. This is greed, and not from a single source, but over and over again. Our recruit masters there must be involved.
Mortals are fallible.
I have said there are elements at large in the fleet who also hasten our Legion's degeneration, and they are not mortal, Kurz snarled. If Balthius is overthrown, it is the culmination of corruption, not the cause. He pushed back his hair over his ears.
We are repeatedly poisoned.
What do you do with a serpent that bites you?
You kill it so it may not bite you again, my lord.
Exactly.
The Legion is bitten. The serpent is outside our ranks.
Sevatar hid his surprise badly.
You will not punish the Legion. But Nostromo?
I intend to do more than punish it, said Kurz.
I will make of it an example the likes of which none can ignore.
Exterminatus, said Sevatar.
Kurz grinned.
That's why I like you so much, Sev. I don't have to explain anything to you. You grasp everything swiftly, and moreover, you understand why I do what must be done.
If you say it must be done, then it must be done.
How? We can rely only on our own fleet, said Kurz. The others, my brothers, would not understand. They would try to stop me. Months will be wasted while arguments are made and evidence presented. If I managed to convince them, they would attempt to force a new compliance. During this time, those responsible will flee Nostromo. By following the law, justice will not be done. If Nostromo must be destroyed, it should be done quickly. Sevatar nodded.
A fraction of the fleet could achieve the destruction of the planet, if targeted correctly. But there are factions. People among the Legion and among the Legion servants who will balk at carrying these orders out. There could be dissension among the crews, even upon those ships we can most heavily rely on. There will be violence.
A war in the Legion.
An image from his visions intruded into Kurz's consciousness. A space marine in midnight blue, gunning down one in midnight black.
Not now. It will not occur.
A lesser warrior might have argued and pointed out further risks. Sevatar only nodded.
I will make sure of it. My Atramenta will ensure compliance with your command, no matter the cost.
His stern obedience brought a laugh to Kurz's lips.
Sevatar, Sevatar. Never doubtful, always sure of his course of action, unbending, unbroken.
The Primarch searched his first captain's face.
So loyal, so imperturbable.
There is nothing to doubt. The guilty must be punished.
I wonder sometimes what you would do if I asked you to follow a course of action you regarded as unjust.
Then I would fight you. Even though you'd kill me.
Kurz nodded, though in his heart he knew this was not true, and that Sevatar's fate would bring him much pain before he found equilibrium again. Through loyalty, he would follow Kurz a long way down a dark path before he found his way back. This he saw in flashes. His ultimate end was hidden to the Primarch, but in the figure of his first captain, the true spirit of the Legion was embodied, and through him, it would survive.
I am entrusting this action to you, my son.
My son, is it today? Said Sevatar. You are becoming sentimental.
I am not myself, said Kurz, half in jest. He wondered if Sevatar could tell how hollowed out he had become.
What about Shang? I can see him agreeing to whatever you say here, then falling to pieces when he contemplates the enormity of what you're asking. Don't trust him with this yet.
Shang will be told, Kurz disagreed. But I will keep him close. I need a man of action, Sevatar. One without qualms or scruples that will sway him from the path of righteousness. The punishment that we must mete out will seem harsh beyond reason. Many of my brothers harbour affection for their home worlds. They speak of the unity of mankind and the common good, but no one is above ties of family and tribe. What I will do will appall some of them. They will look to their own first, all of them, when danger threatens.
But not you.
Justice knows no favour. It is blind and merciless. I am its agent. I cannot show favour to a world simply because I grew to manhood there. Justice holds all to be equal. It must be so, or the scales that weigh the deeds of men can never be balanced, and sin will proliferate forevermore. Sevatar bowed his head.
I shall begin preparations immediately, my lord.
Kurz went back to his book, turned the finely made pages of the codex carefully. Black letters swam over white as he flicked through, his Primarch's mind processing the information instantly.
We shall see it done after Chirrut. Before then I have another task to perform. It is time I spoke with my brothers.
Again he looked at the cards.
What will happen is unclear to me. But perhaps all this horror can be forestalled.
Perhaps the rumours are inflated. And Nostromo might be saved, murmured Kurz.
Maybe Balthius is alive still, and this situation can be rectified.
Do you believe that?
The Primarch's manner changed.
Not for a moment, Sev.
Kurz's hair swung over his face as he bowed his head over yet more damning evidence.
Nostromo will burn. Fate and justice demand it.